Are y'all ready for 2023?
Yes.
Is it going to be your greatest year yet?
Yes.
Do y'all want to finish out the year strong?
Yes.
Do you want to hit 2023? Come on, operating on all 8 cylinders.
Yes.
Pedal to the metal.
Yes.
Y'all know our theme song for our ministry, don't you? Theme song for our ministry? Eastbound and down, 18 wheels and running. We're going to do what they say can't be done. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Eastbound, watch old Bandit run. Come on. Is 2023 going to be our greatest year yet? What the Lord has given us is we're going to step into a greater faith, and 2023 is going to be our greatest year. Now that sounds like a word that would fit right into Houston Faith Church. We're going to step into a greater faith, and it's going to be our greatest year. But if you want it to be our greatest year, you got to step into a greater faith. Now, let's back up and talk about 2022 for a second. How many people in here, 2022, everything was perfect, no tests, no trials, no mountains, no storms, everything went your way. I mean, there wasn't one negative anything, everything was just perfect. How many of you had some stuff happen in 2022? All right, I'm at the right place. Stuff. Everybody say stuff.
Stuff.
You know, when I think of stuff, I think of three things. I think of pressure. There was a lot of pressure in 2022. A lot of pressure exerted on the church, financially, politically, all that stuff. Pressure, right? I think of warfare. Anybody feel like you came against some war? You came up against some warfare. I mean, y'all know, devil don't like you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Warfare. And then, you know, you got pressure, you got warfare, then you got just good old-fashioned people. What scripture is that? That scripture, people be crazy. Y'all know that scripture? How many of you experienced some people stuff in 2022? Family, the person sitting beside you, you know what I'm talking about? People stuff. You know, and all that stuff, sometimes what it does, it creates damage. Damage. I deal with all that damage. And as soon as you say something like that, people automatically, that everybody begins to think about what you had to deal with this year and what came against you and, you know, the damage that you suffered because of pressure, because of warfare, because of people. And we start thinking about the damage done to us. And that's not just 2022, that's life. The easiest thing for people to talk about in this world is the wrongs that have been done to them. Right? Somebody could have 10 memories, 8 of them are good, 2 of them are bad. Which ones are they going to talk about all the time?
Bad.
Too bad. Right? Damage. Here's the ironic thing about all of it. We're all experts on the damage done to us. We're all as ignorant as a doorknob about the damage done through us. Let me just give you 3 things about that. The damage done to us, it's always magnified. I mean, we're going to blow that balloon up. Come on, we're going to analyze it. We're going to blow it up. We know every facet of everything they did to me, right? The damage done through us to others, minimized. I don't know what their problem. It wasn't that big of a deal. My God, you're talking about exaggerate. I mean, you know, grow up. I didn't even mean to hurt you. You are so immature. The damage done to us is always demonically inspired. I'll tell you right now. Devil's behind that. The devil used them to come against me. Because I know there was a new season in my life, and the devil just used them like a puppet. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of... Come on, the devil was behind it. The damage done through us to others, unfortunate accident. If that person knew what was in my heart, they would be ashamed that they got offended at me. Because that was not what I meant. Come on, am I telling the truth? Can I give you one more? The damage done to me, to us, it's going to require full accountability. We're going to need to sit down, and I'm going to have to walk you through every layer of how what you did affected me. And I'm going to need individual apologies on every layer. It's going to take a while. You need to pack a lunch. And then when you're done, I'm going to forgive you, but we ain't going to be friends. The damage done through us to others, it needs to be forgiven and forgotten. Now listen, I said I was sorry, and that's it. I don't want to talk about it no more. And if you're the Christian that you say you are, you will forgive me and never bring it up again. And if you don't, you have a problem with God. And your love walk is just not where it's supposed to be. Do y'all smell it? I smell it. Brother Phil, what you smelling? Hypocrisy. That's the smell right there. See, Brother Phil, why are you talking to us about all this? Because we got to get all this damage under the blood. If you want 2023 to be your greatest year yet, you're going to get all that damage under the blood. And not just the damage done to you, but the damage done through you. And if you don't get all that damage under the blood, you're really never going to find out or know just how significant you are. That damage will cause you to see yourself less than instead of seeing yourself the way God sees you. It'll keep you from seeing just how significant you are. I just want to show you two scriptures. Turn your Bible over to John 19. John the 19th chapter. This is a little obscure scripture that most people just pass over. But my life has been about seeing the little things. We're turning over to the crucifixion of Jesus. And come on, Miss Jovan. These are the most important moments in the history of the world. You got the whole world, past, present, future, is balancing. Come on this moment, right? I mean, this is the most... I mean, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. These are the most important moments in the history of the world. Nothing comes close. But in the midst of all this, Jesus Christ slams on the brakes. Look at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, talking about John, whom he loved, talking about John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said unto the disciple, Behold your mother. In the midst of the most important moments in the history of the world, Pat, he slams on the brakes and he gives a mama a son and a son a mama. Wow. Who does that? Who thinks that way? Who does that? There's only one person. And his name is Jesus. And if there's any scriptures in the Bible that seem irrelevant, but at the same time will tell you how important people are to him, how significant people are to him, man, that ought to be it right there. He brought the crucifixion to a stop and gave a mama a son and a son a mama. That's how significant Mary was. That's how significant John was. That's how significant that moment was. And listen, that's how significant you are. You want 2023 to be your greatest year yet? You want to step into a greater faith? We've got to come to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. You are significant. But I want to break that down. Listen, your life is significant. Far more significant than you'll ever know. And I'm including me in that. You know, we've done a lot of missions work in Bulgaria. I'll be back. We were just there this year. I'll be back in March. We bring pastors together from all over the nation and just love on them and bless them. And I love Bulgaria. But, you know, the first time I went, I was preaching in Burgos, beautiful, beautiful city. And come to find out that back, I'm a charismatic historian, buddy. I can take you all the way back to the Welsh revival and Azusa. And, I can tell you about all those great men and women of God, their whole lives. I love that world. But at Azusa Street, there was these two Russians that were there at Azusa. But they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They got turned upside down, inside out. You know what I'm talking about? They got messed up. All right. And so they get on a ship and they're headed back to Russia, but they go through Bulgaria to see some family. And they go to Bulgaria and they're talking about what happened to them and the Holy Ghost fell. Boom. Some people got messed up. And the first Holy Ghost church was birthed right there in Burgos. And I preached in that church. Of course, it was dead as a doornail. I mean, but it wasn't those few minutes I was preaching, but it was. And then a lady got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then she went up to Sofia, which is right there on the Black Sea, really pretty. And the second church was birthed right there in Sofia. That's Pastor Nikolai's church. Pastor John Osteen was his pastor. And then that little Russian couple, they wound up making their way back to Russia. Well, the entire charismatic Holy Ghost move was birthed right there in Burgos. And then boom, Varna. It all came from that little Russian couple. Now listen, when they get back to Russia, do you think they ever found out the impact they made on that nation? Do you think they knew that, come on, that 100 years later, the entire charismatic move of the nation? They went back to Russia not having a clue just how significant they were. Your pastors right now are in Philippines and they're over there ministering to pastors and they're going to leave. And I know they've been over there before. They're never going to know how significant those trips were. They'll never know. You won't get to heaven. You'll get to heaven and find, you'll have to wait till you get to heaven to find out just how significant your life has been. Your life is your life is significant. Here's something else. Your words are significant. Those things that come out your mouth, those words are significant. What you say matters. Come on, life and death are in the power of your tongue. We've been traveling throughout churches for 20 years, and then I ran a Bible school for 10 years. I don't know if you've ever heard of Texas Bible Institute, Discovery Camp. I was over all that, and it's. Even today, I'll run into somebody who was at one of those camps or somebody that was in the Bible school or somebody that I ministered in a church years ago. And somebody will walk up to me and they'll be like, Brother Philip, I got to tell you, years ago you came to our church and you called me out or you were preaching this and you said blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting there and they're telling me what I said. And sometimes I'll be like, yeah, I remember saying something like that. Or I'll think, I don't remember saying that. But that sounds like something I would say. Sometimes I'm like, I don't ever remember saying that. That don't even sound like something I would say. But they remember it like it was yesterday. How many of you have had something like that happen to you? Your words are significant. Now to show you how significant your words are, we got to look at the negative side of that. Because every one of you are going to be able to relate to this. When you were a kid, when you were growing up, years ago, somebody said something to you. They told you you were worthless. They told you you never amount to anything. They told you you were ugly. They told you you were stupid. They said something, they cursed you. They said something to you You remember it like it was yesterday. Even at this very moment, I could tell you, come up here and tell us about that moment. And you'd walk up here like John Wayne. It was Thursday at 4 o'clock. 32 degrees outside. Gun smoke was on the TV. They said blah, blah, blah. And then I said blah, blah, blah. And then they said blah, blah, blah. And then I said blah, blah, blah. And then they said blah, blah, blah. Come on, am I right? Your words are significant. Your giving is significant. Your life is significant. Your words are significant. Your giving is significant. Let me break that down. Your tithing is significant. Your sowing is significant. Can I tell you one of the reasons a lot of people struggle with tithing and sowing? Is because they look at what they have. And they look at it and they go, what's this going to matter? Let's say your tithe is $10, your tithe is $100, your tithe is $2, whatever your tithe is. People look at it and they go, what is this really going to matter? It's going to mean far more to me than it does to them. I mean, what's $10 going to do? What's $20 going to do? What's $100 going to do? When you see your tithe or your seed is insignificant, you keep it. But you always got to remember, it's not just what you tithe, it's not just what you sow, it's whose hands you're putting it in. That little woman who gave those two mites, if anybody would have been tempted to think what she was giving was insignificant, it would have been her. But she made a decision not to see her seed as insignificant, and she walked right in there in the middle of it all and dropped it. We're still talking about her 2,000 years later. What about the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? That's insignificant compared to 5,000 men and I don't know how many more women and children. But once again, it wasn't the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. It was whose hands it got put in. Never see your life as insignificant. Never see your words as insignificant. Never see your giving as insignificant. Never see your worship as insignificant. What is it really going to matter if I come to church and worship? What is it really going to matter if I come down to the altar like that preacher's trying to get me to do and worship God? When your worship goes up, come on, that glory comes down. Your worship is a seed. The glory of God is the harvest. Never see your worship as insignificant. So I've been teaching this to people. When you see your life as insignificant, you won't give it to build the kingdom. When you see your words as insignificant, you'll speak death instead of life. When you see your tithing or your sowing is insignificant, you'll keep it all in your pocket. When you see your worship as insignificant, you're not going to experience His presence. It's time for a revival in our churches. But we got to have a revival of worship. And we need churches full of worshipers, not watchers. Every Sunday morning I turn around and watch people watch. I watch them watch. Two songs down, two to go. Number one thing they watch during a worship service. Greatest moment of praise in a service. You may be seated. Praise God. We're going to see revival in our churches. We've got to see a revival of worship. We're going to see revival in our churches. We've got to see a revival in our altars. We want to see a revival in our churches. We've got to see a revival of compassion. That's Can I give you one more and then not make a comment about it? If we want to see revival in our churches, we got to have a revival of expectation when we come to church. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on. Come on, Brother Pat. Y'all, come on. Now, we're just moments away from flooding this altar. Look, I got so much time left. I'm telling you. I get to where I'm Smokey and the Bandit. It'll take me long to get where I'm going. One of my great passions in life is how much truth can I shove into the least amount of words possible. I think I grew up in church listening to too much rambling. Say what you mean what you say. Amen? It's not about the quantity of words, it's about the quality. Anybody ever heard of Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball? He was a Sunday school teacher, turn of the century. And there was this kid in a shoe store. And he started ministering to him, praying for him. And that kid got saved. Got called into ministry. His name was Dwight L. Moody. Preached the gospel all over the world. And then Moody was doing a crusade. And another kid got born again, got called into ministry. And became an evangelist. His name was Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman. And years later, Wilbur Chapman was doing a crusade, and another young man got born again and got called into ministry. And years later, he was doing a crusade, and a man came to the service, and he got saved and called into the ministry. His name was Billy Sunday. He was a professional baseball player. And so Billy Sunday, he was an evangelist, traveling, you know, and preaching, and he was doing a crusade, and young man came and got born again, got called into ministry, and his name was Mordecai Ham. And years go by, and Mordecai Ham is doing a big crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this 16-year-old, tall, lanky kid come walking into the crusade, and that day that young man gave his heart to the Lord. He's called into ministry. Wound up preaching to few people over a billion. Name was Billy Graham. Was Edward Kimball's life insignificant? You think he ever knew? In that moment when he was ministering to that kid in that shoe store? Was his words insignificant? Was his giving insignificant? Was his worship insignificant? We're living in a hour where it's very understandable that we would be tempted to feel like we're insignificant. I get it. You look at everything going on in the world, and What do I matter? In comparison to everything going on in the world, what do I matter? And people can feel that way. But I'm telling you, being in 50 churches a year and doing that for 20 years, churches can get to that place. A church can get to a place to where they just like, well, what do we really matter? And therein lies that strategy of the enemy concerning you and concerning his churches. He doesn't want you to know just how significant you are. That's why he wants all that damage to define you. And he sure doesn't want 2023 to be your greatest year yet. So he's doing everything in his power to make sure you don't step into a greater faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I need you to be brutally honest with me, because I've endeavored to be real and raw and honest with you. How many of you, you know in your heart there's some damage. Damage done to you, damage done through you. There's some damage that you need to get under the blood, to get that washed away. There's some damage that you need to get washed away by the blood of Jesus. Lift your hands all over this place. Who's got some damage they need to get rid of? Yeah. Hands going up everywhere. How many of you have been battling, maybe in your mind, in your calling, in your anointing, in your assignment? You've been battling these thoughts of insignificance, and you've seen it play out in the way you see your life and your words and your finances and your worship, and there's kind of been a veil lifted over your eyes, and you realize you've been maybe fighting that more than you think. Come on, who's been kind of fighting some things concerning insignificance in your life? Come on, lift your hands all over this place. Last question, every head up, every eye open, everybody look up here. How many of you want to step into a greater faith in 2023, be your greatest year yet? We fixing to reach out with our faith and grab hold of something. I'm going to say it again. How many of you want 2023 to be your greatest year yet? And you're going to step into a greater faith. All right. You know what it's time for? I want everybody, come up to the altar with me. Get down here. Don't get in a line. This isn't about somebody laying hands on you, which is great. That's wonderful. This isn't about that. Just come down to the altar. Stand anywhere you want to stand. Huddle up, huddle up, huddle up. And you're not huddling up around me. You're huddling up around Jesus. We're going to pray over this altar. We're going to honor this altar. We're going to exalt this altar. We're going to fill this altar. Yeah. We're going to believe God for a revival in the altar. Yeah. Woo, take your time. Come on down. Brother Pat's getting a song on his heart. We're going to worship one song. Now listen, look at, you ain't getting two songs. One song. You better make it count. Better worship your face off. Come on, close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. Everybody say, Father, I love you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for me. All my sins, all my regrets, all my guilt, all the damage washed away in the blood of Jesus. Jesus, you're my Savior. And I boldly declare you're Lord of my life. I'm born again. I'm heaven bound. I am significant. I am a son and daughter of the Most High God. I'm a king and a priest. I'm a throne sitter. Come on, my life is significant. My words are significant. My giving is significant. My worship is significant. Come on, let's show it. Come on, lift your hands in this place. The worship is going to go up, and the glory is going to come down.
The more I seek you.
Be a choir in this place.
The more I find you. The more I find you. The more I love you. The more I seek you, my God.
Tell him.
more I love you.
Come on, tell the Father how much you love him.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, so
your hands out towards the ground, towards the ground, towards the ground, towards the altar. Father, we come before you in the authority of the name of Jesus. And Father, in this glory moment, Father, we dedicate, we sanctify this altar for revival, for worship, for the glory, for your presence, for miracles, signs, and wonders. For the move of the Holy Ghost. For the river that flows from the throne room of God. And Father, in the days ahead, a greater, greater, greater manifestation of the power gifts, the revelation gifts, the utterance gifts. Father, we declare a revival at Houston Faith Church. A revival of worship at Houston Faith Church. A revival in the altar at Houston Faith Church. A revival of expectation at Houston Faith Church. Father, this will be 2023 will be our greatest year. Because we're stepping into a greater faith. Now just be real still. Just be real still. Whoo. Just take a breath. That Zoe, life of God. That peace that passes all understanding. That glory is all over you. That glory is all over you. The weight of His importance. The radiance of His splendor. Demonstration of His power. It's all over you. Be real still. Don't move. Because listen, while you were worshiping, He snuck up on you. He touched you while you were worshiping. One of the big things that happened in this service was everyone in here was forgiven of all their sins and all the damage. Forgiven. 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 Every one of you in here, you're forgiven. Don't bring that stuff up to the Father anymore. He don't know what you're talking about. But as much as you were forgiven, you were healed. Be real still. You're all healed. God's not doing anything right now. It's already done. Y'all have heard of dead men walking. Y'all are healed people standing. You're healed. You just don't know it yet. He healed you when you weren't looking. That glory, that Shekinah glory. It came on you and it's all over you. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. Christianity is done. Religion is due. It's done. The only thing left for you to do, don't move, is you're going to do what that lady didn't do. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, you're going to begin to do what that lady didn't do. You're going to begin to move. You're going to begin to move. You're going to begin to move. And when you do, you're going to find out all the pain, all the soreness, all the stiffness, gone. What you couldn't do now, you can. And what God did for Marianne, God did, He's already done for you. And please give Jesus all the praise, glory, and the honor. Because I'm not a healer. I'm just helping you reach out with your faith and receive. One. Come on, go ahead and thank Him. Just thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. I must be so significant. One, y'all ready? Two, you ready? Do what that lady didn't do. Three, move. 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 Come on, bend over. Touch your toes. Check your knees. Check your elbows. Check your hands and your shoulders. Move around a little bit. Somebody give me a hallelujah. Come on, somebody give me a thank you, Jesus. Move your jaw around. Move your neck around. Come on. Keep moving and keep praising God. Come on, keep moving and keep praising God. Check your feet out. Check your toes out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Hallelujah. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. Now come on up here, Jovan, because I'm fixing to turn the service over to you here in a moment. Everybody look up here. Pain's gone, soreness is gone, stiffness is gone. What you couldn't do, now you can. There's a difference in your body. You're like, OMG. If that's you, come on, lift your hand everywhere. It's gone. All right, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Make eye contact with me. When I point at you, it's going to like popcorn. I'm going to point at you, and all I want you to do is just yell out my knee, my back. It's going to be like popcorn. And as soon as I point at you, yell it out, and then put your hands down, because I don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. Y'all ready? Popcorn. You ready?
Feet.
Finger. Hip.
Ankle.
Ankle.
Back.
Sciatic.
Back.
Back.
Feet.
Shoulder.
Neck.
Neck. Okay. Yeah, right here, sweetie. Neck.
Lungs.
Feet.
Shoulder.
Money. Praise God. Yeah. Neck. Sometimes my money hurts too. What's that? Neck.
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 Knees.
Back. Toes. What's that?
Up here.
I got you. Your knee.
Shoulder.
Hips. Fingers. Heart. Shoulder. Back. Your knees. Vision. Feet. Back. What's that?
Neck.
What's that? Your back. Your back. Your back. Yeah. Feet.
Heart.
Your heart. Who else?
Hands.
Midsection. Yeah. Knees. Wave at me if I miss somebody. Yeah. Your heart. Anybody wave at me if I miss somebody. Woo. Yeah, buddy. Your knees. Now. What over here? Oh, yeah. Why, buddy? Yeah, your eyes. Hey, that's awesome. It's cool. What about you?
My heart.
Your heart, yeah. I love it. Now, were y'all healed in this altar or were you healed 2,000 years ago?
2,000 years ago.
Tonight, you just reached out with your and received what Jesus Christ has already. Sunday morning, take over this altar. Don't wait for people to invite you. Take over this altar. Exodus 20:24 says, build an altar, bring my people to it, and I'll meet with them there and bless them. Take over the altar. Take over the altar. Don't let another church in the world love the altar like this church loves the altar. Every revival there's ever been, they all look the same. You know what they look like? People down in the altar. Worshiping God. And then when that worship goes up, what comes down?
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church.
If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.